I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Roman Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we've got two guests from the Nanango Country Music Muster. Who's our first one?
Our first one is Gary Fogarty, and he's a bush poet.
And then the second one?
Is Lorraine Fitzner, and she's the Secretary of the Australian Bush Balladeers Association.
And then from there, we move on to Boney Mountain Folk Festival, and our first guest is...
Sandy Lewis, and she's a volunteer here at the Boney Mountain Festival.
And then next after that...
is Nikki O'Hara.
Which, of course, is Norma O'Hara's daughter.
Okay.
Right, now apart from these fabulous interviews, we've also got a great selection of music...
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think? On with the show!
Hi, g'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM, 87.6 Backwater Country. And I'm coming to you from the Nanango Showground at the 21st year of the Nanango Country Music Muster, and I'm with one of Australia's finest bush poets, Mr. Gary Fogarty. How are you going today, Gary?
I'm doing fantastic, Phil, and big hello to all your listeners.
Thank you so much, mate, for taking the time to chat with us. Had a great day of bush poetry the other morning at the Bush Poets Breakfast.
Yeah, look, I always enjoy it. It's obvious that's what I do for a living, but I'm working with two high-quality poets here, Ray Esri.
Yes.
Ray and I do a lot of shows together these days, and Bill Kearns from Grafton, and they don't come any better. So
absolutely.
Makes for a great day, and the audience here knows what to expect with bush poetry now, and are very receptive to what we do, and managed to climb out of bed early enough to come and see us.
Good on you, my friend. There's a lot of comedic banter between you and Ray, isn't there? You sort of, he's always picking on the ladies in a nice way, and you're always saying, "You can't say that, Ray." I mean, is that just all part of the act, or?
Yeah, it is all part of the act, as I say, and it wasn't a planned thing, but the last 5 or 6 years, Ray and I have ended up at the same locations, and we've developed a bit of a back and forth between us, and
yes.
Some festivals even put us on stage together. And look, I've travelled I don't know how many miles with him, shared motel rooms with him, and we've never had a blue yet. We get on really well.
Yep.
And I actually wrote a poem about him for his book. So.
Okay, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I told him no one else would say nice things about him. He'd have to leave it to me.
Look, you can tell it's all part of the show, but it's as well as great bush poetry. It's so much fun to see you two guys working together.
Oh, thank you for that.
Really? I mean, nobody takes any of it seriously. They know it's all part of the banter.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's when, you know, we live in this era of political correctness and someone gets offended by something. But it's all about how you deliver it.
Yes.
You know, and if you deliver it with no bad intent...
Of course.
99.9% of the audience will take it that way.
Absolutely, and even the ladies that he's picking on, and he's only doing that for a bit of fun, and they give him back as much as he gives them, and that just revs the audience up even more.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
That's absolutely
I remember brilliant. One day at the Australian Camp Oven Festival in my hometown of Millmerran, we ended up with a pink poodle on the stage because Ray was giving lip to her owner, and she brought her up on stage and, brought the whole show to a halt for about 15 minutes.
Good on you. Now, apart from that, you're a bush poet from way back. When did you first start? Where was your inspiration to become a poet, a bush poet in particular?
Well, I had an interest in it from a very early age.
Yes.
The rule in the Fogarty household was no TV until all the kids had finished school, and I was the youngest and I went to grade 12. So we're 17 before we had a TV, but we used to play a lot of card games, and Dad used to read the family poetry, mainly of Banjo Paterson and Will Ogilvie, and mainly horse-based poetry because my family's been in horses for generations.
Right.
And that's where my love of it came from. Then 1995, I was in a car accident. I fractured my spine in 5 places. I was in a body cast from neck to knee for 6 months.
Wow.
And I started writing my own poetry just as something to do to save myself going stir crazy. And then it wasn't until 1993, I think, that I first performed publicly. I'd done a few poems for mates at a barbecue and that sort of thing, and some of those mates and I were going to the Gympie Muster, and halfway up there they told me that they'd entered me in the poetry competition, and I had no idea. And I sort of only knew two poems by memory then, and you had to do two poems, so I didn't have to fret much over which two poems I was going to do. And I come nowhere in the field. I was a rank amateur compared to some of those, but it fired a fuel in me belly, and fuel the fire in my belly the other way around, and I went back next year and I won that same competition. Good, and then went on from there.
Yes, and you've got two or three CDs now, Gary, of your own poetry.
Look, I've released three CDs.
Yes.
Two are still available, and they're of my own poetry. No Apologies and Bigger, Sharper Spurs. I did record a third album, The Tartan Saddlecloth.
Yep.
Which was a tribute to Will Ogilvie.
Yep.
And I did 12 of his poems. My daughter sang, put one of his poems to music and sang it. And I've got a tribute poem I wrote to him on it as well. But, I've no longer got any stock of that, and I don't think I'll be re-releasing it.
Re-releasing that, fair enough. But you've still got two current CDs, and you've also got some books.
Yes, I've published four books in total. Two of them are no longer in print. I've got Three Hats Later, which is all the poems I recite at shows, plus a lot of others. And about 12 months ago, I released a children's bush poetry book.
Yes, you did.
And it's, I like to liken it to Australian nursery rhymes, a little 3 and 4 verse poems. It's meant to be read to kids before they can read themselves.
Yes.
And they're all about farm animals. And see, they say in showbiz you should never work with animals and children. So I thought I'd do a children's book about animals and jump right in there. But look, I've been just blown away with how successful it's been. I partnered with a young lady from our town, and she suffers from anxiety, and she paints to help herself with the anxiety. And I saw some of her work, and it was amazing. And I thought, you know, she's good enough to be making money from this art.
Yes.
So I put the proposal to her that if I wrote the poems and she illustrated it for me, we'd go halves in the book, and that's what's happened.
That's what's happened. That's fabulous. I've seen your book. I think it's brilliant for the young ones. It's good inspiration for them to start if they want to do something from a very early age. So good on you for doing that.
And the other reason is I stumbled across a survey that recognised that over 50% of Year 9 students in Australia don't know where milk and eggs come from.
Okay.
Now that sounds crazy to a bloke like me who grew up on a farm.
Of course.
But if you're raised in the middle of a city where the majority of them are and don't see that firsthand, so yeah. I think we've got a duty to teach people.
Yes.
And I think the best time to teach them is at a very early age.
Very
so
early age.
All those things are sort of woven into the poems. They won't even know they're learning it.
Fantastic. So tell us about the festivals you've done, because I've met you at numerous places. How many festivals do you do, and how long have you been doing the festivals?
Oh, look, what really kicked the bush poetry along for me, in 1995, I won the inaugural Australian Bush Poetry Championships at Winton, and that sort of got my name out there, and things started to build from there. The amount of festival I go to every year, look, I can't put a number on it. You know, I do the Yellow Belly Festival at St George, the Bouldercombe Festival, the Nango, Mergen when it was happening, that they've postponed this year. Hopefully they'll be back next year. I've done the Gympie Muster 18 times or something.
Wow.
I go to Tamworth most years. Gained Orange Festival, do that. The Australian Camp Oven Festival, we probably have the biggest bush poetry audience in Australia, I think, for our bush poets breakfast there. The Chinchilla Melon Festival, I've been with it since they started, and we have a couple of bush poets there. Oh, you know, Widgie, there's too many to count.
Too many. And Boney Mountain, you're going to be there next week.
Oh, Boney Mountain, of course.
Boney
Norma
Mountain
Show.
Folk Festival.
Yeah, like it's a little bit different to all the other festivals.
It is,
and
yeah.
You know, being different, I think that's great. And I've been acting as a sort of compere. And for Norma, I wasn't there when she started, but a couple of years after she started, I got the gig, and I've been there ever since. And it's only an hour from home, so compared to some of the miles we travel to get to festivals, that's almost like your own backyard.
Fantastic. What was it like at Gympie? Because that's a huge festival. There were 10,000 people out there at that festival?
There's more people than that. I remember the year I won the competition there, I got to go on main stage to perform it. And
now, how did that feel? Because that would have been huge.
Well, a couple of people thankfully give me a couple of tips. Jim Haynes, he said, mate, stick your head out from behind the curtain, have a look at the audience so you don't get a shock when you walk out there.
Yes.
And Marco Glory said, mate, just slow your palm down a little bit because some of the audience is so far away from you. If you go through at a normal speed, they'll miss it. And I took heed of both of those things, and I went out there and there was a mosh, first time I've ever performed with a mosh pit.
A mosh pit, yes.
And right at the front of the mosh pit were two blokes. I was living in Gundawindi at the time. Two blokes from Gundawindi I knew. They had they were about three sheets to the wind, and they yelled, oh, our Gundawindi mate or something, that made me feel right at home. So away we went. It was a great experience.
Great experience. Mm. So it doesn't matter if it's 10,000 people or 10 people?
No, look, bush poetry is a funny thing because its roots have it with people doing poetry around campfires.
Of course.
And if you can create that feel with a limited number of people and no amplification, there's something very authentic about that, and that is fantastic.
Yes.
But doesn't do much for paying the bills.
Of course not.
So we've got to put ourselves on stage and, it's an interesting thing. We normally perform at festivals where there's also country music. Do people come to see the country music and watch us, or do people come to watch us and stay for the country music? And we certainly have some people who tell us that the only reason they come to the festival is the bush poetry. But I'm happy to share the glory with the country music singers. They've got a lot of mates in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of comparing, so I get to meet most of them. I've probably introduced about 85% of Australian artists onto the stage at some time over the last 15 or so years, yeah.
Fantastic. Gary, we're going to wind this up now, mate. I thank you so much for your time. I'm going to play one of your poems from one of your CDs because you said you got two out. Tell us what they are again, the two current available ones.
No Apologies is the first one, and it's probably more, I'm a boy from the bush. I come off the land, and it's probably more based in that rural image. And Bigger, Sharper Spurs, it's my latest album, and it sort of steps more into modern bush poetry and the humour in it, and all sorts of topics from car alleys to cross-country races to garage sales.
Well, I especially like the one about the garage sale.
Well, my wife hate to admit it, but a little bit of that is written about her, and it's amazing how many people come up and said, oh, my wife is just like that. Or the women will come up themselves and say, oh, you've got me to a T. I can't argue with that. But the funny thing is, the person I know who's most addicted to garage sales, Ray Essery.
Okay, fair enough.
He loves to find old things and old furniture and do them up.
Written about Ray or mostly about your wife?
No, the poem's mostly about my wife,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's put that one on.
And sounds
great.
And the
bigger...
Bigger, Sharper Spurs.
Bigger, Sharper Spurs album.
Saturday Morning Fever.
Saturday Morning Fever. We're going to be back with more of Roman Oz straight after that. Thank you so much, Gary.
Phil, it's been my absolute pleasure.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you so much, mate.
I've often spoke of perils in this ever-changing life that are inflicted onto husbands by that demon called a wife. There's shopping, dancing, bingo, other tortures to us males, and the ultimate catastrophe, yes, the weekend garage sale. Now early Saturday morning sees her leaping out of bed at an hour that during weekdays sees her snoring off her head, just to scour those weekend papers and come up with a plan to hit those garage sales, yep, and bankrupt her old man. Now before you've had just half a chance to fully come alive, She's drowning out your protests with, "Just shut up and drive." Your sweet, demure angel, who on weekdays says, "Go slow," says, "Step on it, you moron, before the bargains go." So you're searching for some back street that the map just don't have listed, while she utters a forlorn hope that the vendor's not tight-fisted. Like a pro, she checks her weapons, checkbook, bank card and some cash. Yeah, she's fully primed and ready to buy someone else's trash. Then you finally find the address and you're rolling to a halt when she flings the door wide open, grabs a torch and does a bolt. It's still half an hour to daylight, but this woman's on a mission. Dear God, would it be possible to spend next weekend fishing? So she's scouring through these boxes like a starved rat chasing food when she's confronted by the owner in a far from friendly mood. "Do you know what bloody time it is?" he says as he holds his block. She says, "I will from now on if you knock a dollar off this clock." By now the sun has risen and the street it starts to fill with frenzied female fossickers converging for the kill. With cries of desperation and wild-eyed crazy stares, they converge upon the booty in threes and fours and pairs. And there, right amidst this turmoil, still on a spending spree, is the woman I barely recognise as the one who married me. She's snarling like a tomcat as she's hunting for the treasure. Why does a broken record player give us so much pleasure? Half a dozen big ceramic pots, and one of them's not busted. A cream can badly beaten, with half its bottom rusted. A curling wand that just won't curl. A Reader's Digest book. This ornamental teapot that looks like a headless chook. Oh, but God is surely smiling, 'cause she's headed for the car. But she just chucks it in the boot, says, "That's pretty good so far." I'm just about to protest, say enough's a bloody enough. But she shot through like a Bondi tram to grab some other stuff. This broken coffee table that should do up real nice. Nah, hubby won't mind the extra work at such a bargain price. Some exotic, noxious cactus and a leaky waterbed. No, room won't be a problem. We'll leave the car out of the shed. Well, the car is crammed to bursting with broken, busted gear. But she shows no sign of slowing. This woman has no fear. She's like a well-trained athlete, a slick, well-oiled machine. She's got passion, daring, cunning. She's the best I've ever seen. That's when I hear my darling, her voice, like a loud hailer, saying, "If you really, really love me, you'd have bought the bloody trailer." But the vendor, clever mongrel, he knows he's found a bunny. "Just, stack it in the corner. I'll deliver it for you, honey." A bean bag without beans, a stuffed toy without stuff, this antique vacuum cleaner, complete with dirt and fluff, a box of toys, a swing set, other knick-knacks for our kids, a set of blackened saucepans without one single lid. Now, as I tally up the bill, I feel myself start swooning. She just shrugs and buys this cracked LP of old Bing Crosby crooning. But what's this? I can't believe it. Well, mates, you gotta laugh. She's bought this little cupboard that'd be handy in the bath. It's tall and strong and purple. But we can change all that. A nice off-white or an English cream will match it to our mat. I can't believe they're selling it. They must be slightly queer. The stupid twit. She sold the thing at our garage sale last year.
G'day listeners, Phil C here, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM, 87.6 Backwater Country, and I'm at the Nanango Country Music Muster, and this is the 21st year, and we're at the Nanango Showground, and I am chatting with Lorraine Switzer. How are you today, my dear?
Oh, it's fantastic being up here and enjoying the festival, wonderful artists here, and meeting a lot of people again, which I absolutely love doing.
Fantastic. Now, I should tell our listeners, you are, in fact, the secretary of the Australian Bush Balladeer Association. Now, how long have you been doing that?
I have been doing it right from the first day that the association started. We do celebrate 25 years of association next January.
So and who came up with the idea?
It was Louis Francis, who's no longer with us. He was a bush balladeer and felt that the balladeer music was sort of slowly dying in the industry, and he wanted to build up something and talk to some good people, including Peter Code, who today is our president. And they got together and in year 2000 formed the association.
Okay. And how long have you been with it? 26 years?
Right from the time it started.
Right from the time it started. Goodness gracious me, so you'd have some fantastic memories over the last 26 years of some of Australia's finest bush balladeers.
I do have, but I can go back a lot longer than that because I've been in country music pretty well all my life.
Okay.
And when I came from South Australia, I used to try and go to shows over there. I remember way back 1970 going to Slim Dusty at a place called Clare.
Okay.
It was one of my first major shows. And then not too long after, before that, Buddy Williams I met in 1956 when I was playing polo cross in Ararat in Victoria.
Okay, so obviously 1956, we're talking a long time back.
I am.
So, and I also understand...
I was only a junior then.
Only a junior then. Now, I understand you're 86 years of age now, is that correct?
Well, that's correct, yeah.
86, I'm just letting the listeners know. So you've been associated with Australian bush balladeering for most of your life.
I have. Whilst I've been associated with country music all my life because okay. my parents loved it and brought me up on it.
Okay, okay. Now... You've gone. Tell us a bit about the association. What's involved?
The association is it's run for members, and quarterly we put a book out that tells our members where different festivals are, and the members are allowed to write in themselves and what they're doing, and artists send in different things. We have reviews in there, and it's sponsored. Well, I can't say sponsored. Paid for by the advertisements in the books, and it's mainly festivals throughout Australia and artists who pay these ads, which pays for the book so the members can have it quarterly.
Okay. So how much does it cost to become a member?
Well, that's pretty easy there. $25 for associate member. A joint associate is $30. A full member is $35. And a joint full member is $44.
Each year?
That's right.
So what are the benefits of becoming a member of the Balladeers Association?
Well, one of the very big things I think becoming a member is you know what's going on in Australia with your artists. A lot of people got a favourite artist. I won't mention any names here because there's just too many to mention, but there's some wonderful artists throughout Australia, particularly up here today, as you've probably seen at the Nango. There's, well, I can't count how many is there, but so many, and that are all wonderful artists singing wonderful songs in their own way.
Fantastic. We've got some of Australia's finest at this muster. Dean
we
Perrott,
certainly
do. Jeff Brown.
Exactly.
The list goes on. Brian Letton. I mean, you've got some sensational artists here. How long have you been coming to this particular festival?
This is about my fifth year of this festival. When I left South Australia, I moved to Tamworth, and I have been to every festival in Tamworth since it started, except the first one. I wasn't there.
Okay. Wow. So you've obviously got a great love of Australian country music.
I do. I always have. It's the way I was brought up when my dad particularly pointed out to me what to look at and what to do.
So what other festivals do you attend?
Tamworth, I live there. I go to them all the time. For many years, I went to Mildura. Sorry about that.
Don't worry. I can edit that. Is that it? It's gone. Don't worry.
That's my brother. I can get him back.
I can edit this all out. Don't worry about that. So continue. Continue. How many other festivals have you been to?
Okay. I've been to every Tamworth festival except the first one. I used to go to Mildura every year. I think when Mildura closed up as it format was, I haven't been back since. That's about 5 years ago. Another festival I used to go every year was in Berry, South Australia, Obama actually, in South Australia, where they do have a Hall of Fame. And I'm actually inducted into their Hall of Fame over there, which they call the Avenue of Honour.
And the Avenue of Honour, well, you do have a few letters after your name, so that would be a very appropriate, don't you consider? OAM.
Yes, that's correct.
I didn't mention that right at the start because I wanted to let people get a bit of a feel for who you are. But you were actually given that award. When was that?
2017. Right. And at the time I was given that award. I worked for many years, starting back in 1990, raising money for the bronze buses in the Tamworth Paradise section where they have the pioneers, okay, of the pioneers. And this year I raised the money with the help of a lot of other people behind me for Chad Morgan. So we unveiled the Chad Morgan the bronze bus there, and it happened the same year, 2017.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Apart from becoming a member of the Bush Balladeers, you've also got a book. Now, it's called Min Latin Girl.
Min Latin is a town where I was born, and I grew up there on a small mixed farm where we had to, as kids, work very hard to get the land working, milk cows, pick stumps, chop wood, work on the header, doing that, bag sewing, you name it, we did it. Milk cows, we did it. And I look back, they were tough years, but they were good years.
Very tough years, very hard, yeah, living that way back in the day.
It certainly was. I only went to school for 7 years, and I actually hated school. And so I was so glad when I left. In my book I wrote, leaving school the last day was one of my happiest days. And here I am doing all these things, writing a book about my life called Militant Girl. It tells my story over home on the farm, some of my married life, not back. I've kept that bit in the background. And coming to Tamworth, and while I got into country music, doing things. I got into radio in 1978, and I've been a broadcaster or a presenter of country music ever since, and I'm still doing two programs a week now.
And where is that? Where can people hear you?
You can hear me on Capital Country Radio, which comes out of Tamworth.
Yes.
And the other one's CMR Country Music Radio, which comes out of Mildura.
Fantastic. Now, apart from being the secretary of the ABBA and having your own book, you also have a large selection of 26 volumes, is that correct?
Yeah, Association puts an album out of 21 maybe artists, Bush Balladeer styles, and what we do with that, not only give it to the artists to sell, but we supply radio stations who do play our style of music, a CD.
Okay.
They can play, and that's why the Association does that album.
Fantastic.
And I do have a track on that.
You do. Now, we're going to play that in just a moment. Now,
can I tell you a little bit of a story about that song?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you. The song's called Hillbilly Girl.
That's
so
right.
Tell us a bit about it.
Well, Peter Coad, our president, rang me one day and he says, about time you put another song on our Balladeer albums. And I said to him, no, I'm too old to do it anymore. He said, no, you're never too old to do anything. And I said, well, you better write me a song. So Virginia, his sister, wrote me a song called Hillbilly Girl. And it goes back to when you listen to it. It tells the story of me growing up home with the old gramophone, the 78 we used to play and the music we used to listen to.
Okay.
Now, that's why it's called the Hillbilly Girl, because I really am a hillbilly girl.
Okay. And that is on volume 26. Now,
yeah.
How do people get hold of these CDs
They can get in touch with me. They can go to the Australian Bush Balladeer Association website and they can find me on there.
Fantastic. So there you go, listeners. If you want to become a member of the Australian Bush Balladeers Association, ABBA, you just look that up on Google, correct?
Just get in touch with me. All the details are there.
Okay.
There's quite a bit of it now up on the website for the association. Merchandise is all up there. CDs all up there. So anybody who would love to, we'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Lorraine, for
taking
the time to chat with us. Coming to you from the Nanango Country Music Muster, folks, Lorraine Fitzner, we're going to play her song now from volume 26. The track's called Hillbilly Girl. Thank you so much, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Today, as a I heard their song. The 78th on the old gramophone. Takes Buddy and Jimmy too many to name. I love their music and the songs that they sang. I'm a hillbilly girl, a hillbilly girl. The songs I remember were part of my world. When the needle went down, the record would play the good country music I still love today. I've met on my way. So many shows I've seen in my day. The music keeps changing, but still it's the same. There's always a story in the song that they play. I'm a hillbilly girl, a hillbilly girl. The songs I remember were part of my world. That old gramophone I treasure today. I remember so well the joy that it gave. When the record went on and it started to spin, I play it again, again and again. I'm a hillbilly girl, a hillbilly girl. The songs I remember were part of my world. When the needle went down, the record would play the good country music I still love today. I'm a hillbilly girl, a hillbilly girl. The songs I remember were part of my world. When the needle went down, the record would play the good country music I still love today. When the needle went down, the record would play the good country music I still love today.
See here on Roman Oz, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM, 87.6 Backwater Country, and 4EEE in Emerald. And I am at the Boney Mountain Folk Festival chatting with one of the volunteers, Sandy Lewis. How are you today, Sandy?
I'm really good, thank you.
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Beautiful weather out here, having a sensational time.
We have had the most wonderful weather. Mm-hmm. A little bit cool in the mornings, right. But just put a bit of extra clothes on and come down and enjoy the day. It's very been fabulous.
Fun. It is, and it's only going to get better now because the main artists are here and it's all happening very, very soon.
It is, yes, and the walk-ups that started early in the week have been all fabulous,
yes.
And I helped run that.
You do?
And it's a pleasure to be able to see these people getting up there and having a go.
So you're a volunteer here and you just said you help run the walk-ups.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So what's involved in being a walk-up artist?
Okay, usually you come in and you camp, obviously, and you come up in the morning, put your name on the board, and we ask you to get up and perform two songs.
So do you have to play, or can you sing without music, or have you got a band? How does it all work?
You can do what you really like. And we had one girl that just came in and told a story about her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And how this grandmother had done this, performed this 100 years ago, and she named the song about something to do with a sheep, and she got up and just went, and that was it.
Was that the entire song?
That was the entire song.
The entire performance. I hope she didn't do that for 5 or 10 minutes.
No, she did that for a short time.
Okay.
But everyone loved it.
Okay.
And then she did a story about her grandfather, I think it was. So it was fun. And look, the walk-ups do, we often have a band, and over the years a lot of these people that have actually performed as walk-ups have gone on to
bigger things,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, so
how long have you been a volunteer at this particular festival?
We have been coming here for 15 years. I missed a couple of years, but so 15 years.
The festival's been running for 15 years.
15 years this year.
Each and every one.
Just about, yes.
So what do you do as a volunteer other than the walk-ups?
Just about everything, and my husband comes as well, so okay. He usually does all the toilets and okay. the running around and okay. what have you, clean-ups, and mm-hmm. I help here in the office, and anything that Norma requires, we're sort of at her beck and call.
Okay, so Norma's been doing the festival for 15 years. Have you known Norma longer than that? Or?
I met her quite a few years before that, mm-hmm. And the reason we actually got in touch was my husband actually went to school with Norma.
Oh, okay.
Down in the Mallee at, where was it? Anyway, in the Mallee, yeah.
Okay. Now, I understand you're an actual singer yourself. You've got a CD of your own.
Yes, I have, yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. A friend of mine, he actually does do some recording. Unfortunately, he's just recently passed away.
Okay.
But he did a CD for me, and I have sold a lot of those, and it's just called Blue Bonnets,
okay.
and it's all about a song that is an American song, which I really loved, and on that CD I've actually played guitar, played mandolin,
oh, wow.
and it's an interesting little one, just my favourite song.
So you play guitar and mandolin as well as sing?
Yes.
Well, you should be on the stage.
Well, I've been
be
on
volunteering.
The
you should be up there.
Well, I do spend a lot of time on the stage when we're here.
Okay.
I do the walk-ups and okay. everything, and also perform around a lot of the other country music clubs. And I don't know, a lot of people would remember the over 50s concerts, festivals that they used to have at the Warwick Town Hall.
Right.
And a lot of the country music clubs would come down and perform as individual country music clubs,
okay.
but have their own shows, and we would perform there as well. Okay. So you're quite familiar, but no, I love singing. New Zealand originally,
mm-hmm.
and came over in 1979. But my mum was a musician as well. She played piano and sung and what have you. And she bought me a ukulele when I was seven, after, you know, going to a lot of the Maori hangis and things, you go there and they would just, chap would come up and he'd say, here, girl, you know, put your fingers there on the ukulele and strum. So by the time I learnt that very easily, and then Mum bought me a guitar when I was 11,
mm-hmm.
and I sung through until 16, and then other interests came into my life.
Okay, yes, boys.
Boys. I was going to say
family.
That. Marriage. I had four children. Uh-huh. And then in 2004, I started singing again out uh-huh. at the Australasian Country Music Association uh-huh. Hall, ACMA Hall, at Yandina.
Okay.
And haven't stopped since.
So when did the album come out?
About 2012, I think he did that, and mm-hmm. I haven't bothered again. I have always wanted to put an Australian-only songs album out,
mm-hmm.
but haven't got around to it. But one of these days, maybe.
So mainly covers. Who would be your influences?
I've got Dolly Parton.
Right.
I've got quite a few Australian girls.
Right.
Becky Cole, Tanya Kernaghan. I'm just thinking of the American girl, the lady that just passed away, Loretta Lynn.
Yes.
Yes, and, you know, I do sing some of the male songs as well, but I love it, yeah.
So apart from this festival and singing, do you do a lot of other festivals? Do you volunteer at other festivals?
We haven't volunteered at others,
yeah.
but we do perform at a lot of other festivals,
mm-hmm. okay.
and which I thoroughly enjoy.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
We Phil and Chris Code have a festival up at
yes,
Bundaberg, which
Bundaberg.
I go up to every year, so
yeah.
that is really wonderful.
Okay.
Nanango is another, you know, like...
Were you at Nanango this year?
No, we weren't. Yeah, okay. Health.
Yep, fair enough. Yes.
Doctors.
Because Nanango's just gone.
It's just gone,
okay.
yes. And so we came here. And then, we'll... You know, keep going to all these festivals and support them and keep country music going and
Absolutely.
Folk music going.
The
so.
Folk and the original bush balladeering.
Yes, I love the stories. I
yeah.
love the Australian stories. And
awesome
a lot of my songs are based on those sorts of stories. Lana Ross.
Yes.
I love her songs. I sing a lot of her songs. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you got any more festivals this year for yourself?
No, not. We're going to go down to Woodenbong. That's actually just a new one,
right.
Which is Walk Up's
okay.
Festival, which is going to be very interesting and very nice, I think. So okay. Yeah.
So for the benefit of our listeners, if you were to go to one that you've been to, do you have a favourite?
Oh, golly, look. Everyone is different and they have all got their special things. And yes. I think go and have a go.
Mm-hmm.
Camp, meet these wonderful people. We're all one big happy country music, country folk family.
It's very relaxed, isn't it?
It is. And we meet such beautiful people and we see them year in and year out.
Okay.
And this is what's been happening here at Boney Mountain. So.
Well, we've got fabulous weather. Have you got a favourite that's on the bill at this particular one? I mean, we've got the Barley Shakes coming up a bit later on this evening, and the Irish Band.
I love.
We've had Alan Caswell.
Yes.
Peach Monkey Dawson and Al Gray.
Oh, Peach Monkey Dawson, Chris and Phil Code from yes. Bundaberg, Alice Benfer, she's a new one
known
this
Alice,
year, and
yes.
I've known Alice since she was quite a small girl, and I've always been involved in promoting the juniors at our country music up the coast, at Sunshine
okay.
Coast, and always supported them and encouraged them. Liam Brew,
mm-hmm.
you knew Liam very well. Yeah.
So what you just mentioned about the country up the coast, mm-hmm. that's still continuing to run now, or is that how long has it been running?
We have just celebrated 60 years.
60 years, wow. It's still going strong.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. at Stewart's Road, Yandina, yeah.
Okay.
And we have that 60 years, and there's another one up there, the Maroochy River Country Music Club. They've been going for 30 years.
Okay.
And so a lot of these people, we're all getting a bit older.
That's the thing. Yeah, everybody's getting older, slowing down.
And encouraging the younger kids to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, it's been fabulous.
Fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely
so,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's a pleasure chatting with you, Sandy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah,
it's so busy. People have been coming up and wanting to be attended to, but there's always somebody jumped up to take care of that to not interrupt.
There is, yeah, that's great.
So you've got
yeah.
a great team of people here.
Yes, very good, very good. And yeah. as I said, a lot of these people I've known for many years too, so it's lovely.
Absolutely.
And thank you for talking to me. That's lovely.
My pleasure, my dear. Now, I'm going to finish this up now. I'm going to wind it up. Do you have a favourite singer, Australian singer or band?
I love Sharon Hayslip.
Okay.
I've been singing a lot of her songs. She's not very well, but she wants me to go out and sing her songs. And I like Becky Cole,
yes.
Tanya Kernaghan.
Right.
And there's a lot of new ones coming through. Uh-huh. So I just keep my ears and eyes open, and if there's something that touches me. Lana Ross is another girl. Yeah,
right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So right. can we play a favourite by Sharon for you?
Yes. Ah, yes. Oh, yes. The Country School.
The Country School.
That would be lovely.
And you have yes. been absolutely lovely as well. Thank you so much, Sandy, for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. Thank
All
you.
Right. We're going to be back with more of Roman Oz Folk straight after Sharon Hayslip's A Country School.
In an old family album, there's a photo that I see of a one-room school and barefoot, standing there is me. Though the photo's cracked and faded, it brings back memories of a one-room school standing amidst the bloodwood trees. It's where we learnt the lessons of how to spell and add. Just like the other children who went before us had. There's a teacher and their schoolmates that I will see no more. But it seems I hear their voices from the past I'm looking for. thinking of my childhood and how things used to be. Oh, how I'd like to travel back. Oh, how I'd like to see that one-room school standing amidst the bloodwood trees. It would seem that Father Time has heard the last bell run. The final lesson has been learnt, the last song has been sung. No longer stands the old school, no longer blood would sway. Now cattle graze the school grounds where children used to play. I slowly close the album, the photo fades from view. And like that old one-room school, my life is passing too. So if by chance you wander back to search, you will not find. For all that's left are memories of a school that's passed in time. Here am I at twilight in fancy memories, thinking of my childhood and how things used to be. Oh, how I'd like to travel back, how I'd like to see that one-room school standing amidst the bloodwood trees. That one-room school standing amidst the bloodwood trees.
Oh, welcome to the show, listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM, 87.6 Backwater Country, and 4EEE in Emerald. And I am at Boney Mountain Folk Festival. That's that fabulous festival that's put on each year by Norma O'Hara, and I'm chatting with one of her beautiful daughters, Nikki. How are you going, Nikki?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for chatting to me. How are you going today?
Yeah, having a fabulous day.
This festival's been running for about 15 years.
Yes, that's correct. 15 years, yep.
Okay. And have you been involved with it for those 15 years in any way? Or have you just come along each and every year and support Mum?
Always here to support Mum, okay. In various capacities. Mm-hmm. But yes, every year. Haven't missed one.
Okay.
There was one year where everything was cancelled, of course. We won't talk about that, yes, necessarily.
That was a bad part in everyone's world, especially musicians and so on. But other than that, you've been to each and every one.
Yes,
and
yep.
You do volunteering here to help Mum out.
Well, I wouldn't call it volunteering. It's more like you really have to when you're part of the family.
Of course. Okay. So you make sure things happen.
Yeah. We all chip in. My sister, my brother, everyone chips in, the family, yeah.
Right. So how does it feel being the daughter of what I would refer to, like, I mean, your mum's been in the industry for a long, long time. She's a bit of a legend in my eyes. How's it feel you got such a mum that's so talented and done so much in Tamworth?
Yeah, it's good. We're all really proud of her, obviously. She sort of had a bit of a late start in her career, if you like, in terms of professional. She was certainly always performing at parties, like singing at parties growing up as kids. We, you know, have lots of memories of that, and writing songs. I think her first professional job was on a riverboat restaurant in Swan Hill. Mm-hmm. And she would have only been really young, because I was only really young. And that was only just very part-time, because she had, you know, three little kids at that point, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, when we moved up to New South Wales, she wrote a song for the local rodeo, because she's obviously always been a horsewoman as well.
Yes.
And she wrote it to promote the local rodeo, and then someone got a hold of it in radio, and the rest sort of just took off from there.
Well, when I was here last year, she had a new single, and that was all about horses as well, wasn't it? Ozzy Oscar. All about the Brumbies.
Yeah, she's very passionate about saving the Brumbies. Obviously, they're Australian legends as well, and beautiful horses that, you know, went to war with us, etc. So I think she's pretty disturbed, as a lot of people are, about the way that they are being treated at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a bit of a disgrace myself, actually. But yes, I'm in favour of Norma on that one. I don't think it's right to be doing what they're doing. But and so does she have horses? Does she like to ride?
Oh, she's always ridden. She doesn't now, but certainly throughout her life, she has done a lot of camp drafting. She used to play polo cross. She's always. We had a breeding. She had a Palomino stallion at stud when we were in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
She had a quarter horse stud here at Boney Mountain for a while. She's always been around horses and bred horses, and I think she was actually, before we all came along, she was a strapper on a thoroughbred stud and one of the first female jockeys, amateur, in Victoria. So, yeah, she's always been very passionate about horses.
No idea. So what about yourself? Are you a bit of a horsewoman as well?
Well, I was when I was young. I loved horses, and then, you know, like, just life sort of changed for me. And I still love horses, but I don't really ride much now,
So what about music? Do you do any music yourself, being the daughter of Norma? Are you a singer? Do you play an instrument?
I learned piano for about 7 or 8 years. And that was a struggle for me. It doesn't come naturally for me. It does for my sister and brother. They're both very talented. They can sing, play guitar, and they are very just naturally gifted, like mum. But no, I didn't get that part. So, you know, everyone is good at something, right?
Absolutely. Fair enough. So the festival's been running for 15 years, and she's had some fabulous entertainers out here over those times, and
you
must have some really wonderful memories of that.
Yep.
How did it all come about, those 15 years ago? Was it just Norma just woke up one morning and said, I had a dream, Nikki, I want to set up a music festival? Or
no, she's always, well, I can't say she's always had it on her to-do list, but certainly in the later part of her career, she was passionate about trying to have a festival, running her own festival, having been to so many, I guess, and performed at so many, and having the space to do it, and having the contacts and whatever. So it just made sense, and it's been, you know, it's been wonderful for the community here, and it's great to see so many return people come back year after year. You know, it's a little bit unique in that it's never grown into being a giant big festival. It's always stayed small, I think that's, and it's very relaxed, and I guess that's what people find the most attractive about it.
Yeah,
you know, we've had all sorts of weather events here, and we've had mud, and we've had dust, and we've had fire bans, and we've had, you know, just all the usual challenges in the country, and it's all bush camping. But most people just come prepared and they just roll with it, and, you know, we love that about the people that visit Boney Mountain.
So you've had them coming. Have you got one or more people that have been coming for the 15 years, to your knowledge?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Mum, but possibly there might be. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, look, I'm going to wind this up now. Thank you so much for taking the time, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Before we do, do you have a favourite Australian singer or band? It doesn't have to be country, anything at all you like. You can even play your mum's songs if you like.
Well, no, I've heard probably plenty of those over the years. I do have lots of favourite Australian artists. Just something that springs to mind that's very Australian and brings back great memories of Sydney Harbour at the Millennium was Ice House Great Southern Land.
Fantastic song, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you were in Sydney for that?
I was.
Have you been a bush girl, so I guess, all your life? Have you? Because you live out here, I'm assuming.
No, I don't. I actually live on the Gold Coast.
Oh, really? So you've just come here for this event?
Yeah, yeah.
So you live on the Gold Coast?
Yes.
What would you prefer, the coast? I guess the Gold Coast is hustle and bustle, whereas this is so laid back. What's it for you?
Well, I think, you know, you never take the bush or the country out of me. I grew up in went to a primary school with 14 kids in it, you know what I mean? One room school. So, no, I love coming to the country, but I like the best of both worlds, if
absolutely.
You like. And that's what's great about being an Australian, isn't it?
It sure is. We've got the best country in the world. We've got everything here. And I guess you've got the best of both worlds up on the Gold Coast and in the bush at Mum's Festival when you're down here. Nikki, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
No problems. You're welcome.
There you go, folks. That is Nikki O'Hara. And we're going to be back with more of Roman Oz straight after Great Southern Land by Ice House.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.